To make a donation, visit biblicallycorrectpodcast.org/donate. And if you enjoy this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for your support. Could the shrinking number of believers be evidence of God? Welcome to the Biblically Correct Podcast. Shalom, y'all. This is the Biblically Correct Podcast, teaching biblical correctness in a biblically incorrect world. My name is Kevin Jeffrey. I am a Jewish follower of the Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, and I love teaching the scriptures. When the sons of Jacob conspired together to get rid of their brother Joseph and sell him into slavery, it ended Joseph's life as he knew it, separating him from his family and especially the father who loved him. Yet that treachery set Joseph on his path to becoming the savior of the whole house of Israel in their time of greatest need. When Joseph later forgave his brothers for trying to destroy him, he said to them, according to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, "As for you, you devised evil against me, but God devised it for good, in order to do as at this day, to keep alive a numerous people." Like Joseph, the body of Messiah today is on its own collective path of evil meant for our destruction. Only this one is largely of our own making. More and more, we're standing less and less for biblical truth, for objective reality, for living righteously, and for the uncompromising message of the only way to salvation through the Messiah, Yeshua. We're less likely to believe in and live by the absolute truth of the scriptures, and more likely to tolerate and embrace unbiblical beliefs and sinful behaviors. We've lost both ground and influence in the society outside us, while we've been slowly losing our future generations from within. According to nearly every metric, measured either through objective research or personal observation, we are a body that is atrophying, splintered, malnourished, and falling away. That's the bad news. But the good news is that even though this is happening both to us and because of us, there's reason to believe that, like Joseph, God has ultimately devised it for good. Where we've succeeded in collectively selling ourselves into this spiritual slavery, God will succeed in providing for us and making the body of Messiah ready so that it can one day live and flourish again. In order to be prepared for what's ahead, we can't thrive and overcome while we're loaded down with sickly limbs and dead weight. Maybe the body of Messiah's rapid deterioration isn't just proof of our own generational failures, but evidence that God is working to give Yeshua's body new life through a deep and hard pruning. And it's with this hard message that we all need to hear that I want to exhort and encourage you today. So could God right now be pruning the body of Messiah? Well, we know for a fact that Yeshua warned about this very thing in John chapter 15 in his exhortation about what's required of us to become his disciples. Beginning in verse 1, the master says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the farmer. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes it away. And everyone bearing fruit, he cleans by pruning it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. As the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself if it does not remain in the vine, so neither will you if you do not remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who is remaining in me, and I in him, this one bears much fruit, because apart from me, you are not able to do anything." So Yeshua here is using a metaphor about a farmer with his vine and its branches to warn and explain about his expectations for us as his disciples. And he begins by saying that he is the true vine and the Father is the farmer, later adding that we, those who believe in him, are the branches, some of whom the Father prunes. Now, in order to fully grasp the spiritual truth that Yeshua is imparting to us here, we need to also understand the metaphor itself. So as we dig further into what Yeshua is saying, we'll also need to consider what pruning actually is. So, what is pruning? Well, pruning is what a farmer or arborist or a gardener does when he selectively trims or cuts off parts of a plant. And the first level of pruning that Yeshua talks about is the removal of an entire branch. The second level he mentions is when the branch is only cleaned up or trimmed back. Let's start by looking at what Yeshua says about the first one, and then we'll start to break down the metaphor. So Yeshua says that every branch that is in him that is not bearing fruit, the Father takes it away. In other words, he completely cuts off the branch. Now, why would the Father take or cut off someone from the vine of Yeshua? Because these aren't unbelieving branches, or not true believer branches. They're believing ones. They're in him. They're in Yeshua. Yet the Father cuts them off. Why? What could a believer in Yeshua do or not do that would cause the Father to cut him off? Well, according to Yeshua, the Father takes away every branch that is in him that is not bearing fruit. They're not being fruitful for Yeshua. And when a branch isn't being fruitful, that fruitlessness has a negative impact on the entire plant. So the farmer has to get rid of it. Now, when we consider the analogy, there are several reasons why a farmer might decide to remove a branch. For instance, maybe the fruitless branch or believer is in the way. He's blocking the growth path or sunlight that other branches need to grow. Maybe the branch is sucking up resources that the plant needs, like water and nutrients, and the branch, the professing believer, has to be removed in order to redirect those limited resources to branches that will actually do something with them. Maybe the branch, or the believer, is a potential source of infection or infestation because it's been exposed to or is spreading something dangerous, and it needs to be taken away to avoid contaminating the rest of the plant. Or maybe the branch is just dead and useless and taking up valuable space. So even though the branch is in the vine, he's in Yeshua, he's still connected to the life force of the plant. The Father takes the fruitless branch away in order to benefit and improve the health of the rest of the plant. A farmer has no use for a fruitless branch. On the contrary, its continued connection to the plant is detrimental to the plant's overall fruitfulness. The farmer cuts off the fruitless branch to save the whole vine. So that's the first level of pruning that Yeshua says the Father will do. For the second level, Yeshua then says that for the branches who are bearing fruit, who the Father is surely pleased with, rather than just allow them to continue to grow and do what they're doing, he does something to the fruitful branches that might seem harsh and unexpected. Despite their fruitfulness, the Father still picks up his cutting shears, but instead of lopping off the entire fruit-bearing branch, he strategically cuts and cleans it by pruning. Why? So that they will bear more fruit. Consider the analogy again. A branch, despite being fruitful, might still be pruned and trimmed back by a farmer for several reasons. For example, fruit-bearing branches can become less productive as they age. Pruning can rejuvenate a branch by encouraging new, younger shoots and branches that can then produce more fruit than the older ones. The pruning might also be done to deliberately thin out the plant so that it can utilize resources more efficiently and the branches can have more room to produce fruit of larger size and improved quality. And pruning a fruit-bearing branch might also be to train the plant to indicate which direction it should grow. By way of knowledge and careful planning, expert pruning can train the branches to grow according to the farmer's desired vision or structure. The farmer will prune with future growth in mind, cutting back the plant today so that it can produce more and better and greater fruit in time. So even though the branch has produced fruit, the farmer will still do intentional surgical damage to the branch to cut back and reduce the size of the plant, because he wants the plant to be healthy, more fruitful, and to grow larger and better and greater fruit in the future. So a farmer or arborist will prune a plant or vine or what have you on two levels. And keep in mind that this is still a metaphor in which believers are the branches. First, the farmer will completely remove an unfruitful branch, either because it's no longer visually pleasing, or it is unnecessary for or in the way of growth and production, or is causing injury to the plant's health and development. That's not an easy pill to swallow, is it? And second, the farmer will prune a fruitful branch by surgically and precisely trimming it by cutting it back and reducing it in order to rejuvenate the branch to encourage new and better growth and to direct the whole plant's productiveness and ability to bear fruit. So this is what Yeshua is talking about when he speaks of removing or pruning branches that are in him. Yeshua wants us to be fruitful for his purposes. And as harsh as it may seem, the Father is ready and willing to do either aggressive or surgical damage to us to remove or prune branches as needed, if it means causing the body as a whole to be healthy, productive, and fruitful. So I have a beautiful gold mound lantana bush in my backyard, and it produces gorgeous, bright yellow flowers. It's my favorite plant in the whole yard. And we usually let it grow to around 4 or 5 feet wide and about 2, 2.5 feet high. And when we first moved into our home, while the bush had yellow flowers and green leaves on it, it also had a lot of visible dead growth in it, a lot of what were essentially bare sticks, and it marred the aesthetics of the plant. And after some research, Esther concluded that if we wanted the bush to look as it should, to be big and leafy and healthy looking, we needed to trim it all the way back. And by all the way back, I mean cutting off all the flowers and most of the leaves and branches so that it was reduced to basically about a shoebox size worth of beige stubble sitting on the ground. And even though she assured me that if we were going to remediate this plant, that this was the right and healthy thing to do for it, after we trimmed it, I thought for sure we had killed it. But to my delight, the bush started to grow back, just like Esther said. And even though for a while it just looked like a clump of dead sticks, soon the branches were growing, then the leaves, and eventually it was huge and green and covered with bright yellow flowers again, with no more dead, ugly sticks protruding from its body. And this may very well be what the Father is doing with the body of Messiah today. He's seen how some of us have been fruitful and some of us unfruitful. He's seen how some have remained in the vine and become Yeshua's disciples, and he's seen how many others have not. Too many branches have been covered by sin, worldliness, and fruitless debate, unable to get enough pure light from God's word. We've squandered our resources in order to nourish barren branches, and we've produced a little fruit that lately hasn't tasted all that good. Our collective growth slowed, we became unhealthy, wild, dense, and twisted. So could it be that now he's trimming us all the way back? He's removing dead, fruitless sticks. He's cleaning and pruning the few fruitful branches that remain and performing a long-needed reshaping. We're now nearly just a small, beige clump of sticks sitting on the ground, appearing to be dead to all except the expert, refining eye of our Father. So to whatever extent attacks of the enemy have brought on this unhealthy condition, or to whatever degree we've done this to ourselves by not remaining in the true vine, As difficult as it may be to accept, our shrinking in numbers, influence, and quality of disciples may in fact also be the result of God pruning and lopping off believers. And whether these are true believers who are falling away or so-called false converts who were never really true believers in the first place is irrelevant. The point is that if God is pruning us, then that means that he's removing those who've been swelling the ranks and been a detriment to and drain on the body. If God is pruning us, then he's amputating the mass and weight of fruitless branches who've been sucking the life out of the body of Messiah and holding it back from fulfilling its purpose on the earth. So maybe our misshapen, disintegrated condition has been devised for good, that we're in the process of remediation by the farmer's severe and surgical hand, so that out of our reduced, lean, aggressively trimmed back state, the body of Messiah can begin to sprout and grow and bear fruit once again, to do more than just believe and remain in or die on the vine, to do more than just go to congregation and sing and pray and read the Bible and be spiritual, but to share the good news, to make disciples, to build up the body, to champion the faith, to walk in the absolute truth of God's word, to raise up the next generation, to commit ourselves, whether by life or by death, to the cause of Messiah, and to bring Yeshua's salvation to the ends of the earth. In John chapter 6, Yeshua stood before crowds and proclaimed what many took as a hard word, a word that spoke of extreme commitment to him and his purposes, at the end of which would be eternal life. But rather than receiving that word, many of his disciples rejected it and turned away. As it says in verse 66, "And from this time, many of his disciples went away backward and were walking with him no more." To them, the degree of life change and commitment that Yeshua required and was exhorting them to outweighed any perceived immediate or future benefit. So they walked away. Can you imagine? And while those who would follow Yeshua after this would continue to increase many times over, such that the Pharisees in John 12:19 would characterize it as if the whole world was following him, after Yeshua's death, the body of Messiah would again severely shrink and diminish to a mere 120 people, as it says in Acts chapter 1. But 120 was all that God needed. Because shortly afterward, without any warning at all, those 120 suddenly exploded to more than 3,000 in a single day, with 5,000 more just a little bit later, and thousands upon thousands soon to spread across the known world. So though it may be tragic and heartbreaking to watch friends and family fall away, to see congregations shrink and society rot, and it should all be cause for grief, maybe, just maybe, God has ultimately devised it for good. Maybe the Father is pruning us to remove dead weight and overgrowth that we should have either sloughed off or remediated ourselves long ago. And perhaps he's preparing us for lean times, to then make us ready for an explosion of strength and victory in the not too far off future. And though we may work today to try to stop the hemorrhaging, to confront sin and unbiblical beliefs and behavior in the body, to turn back those who are lost, to preserve future generations, perhaps even while we're bleeding, we can still be encouraged. Because if this is God's pruning, then it's all part of the master plan. Yes, we'll be thinned out and smaller and weaker, and in your and my lifetime, we may not see much fruit. But if we remain in the vine, if we find each other and support each other and pool our resources, now better able to identify and work with other faithful and true disciples, then God's pruning will have accomplished its purpose, and the whole body will one day be ready to bear abundant, overflowing, flourishing, eternal fruit. In 2 Corinthians 12:8 through 10, Paul says this about being weak. Concerning this thing, three times I appealed to the master that it would go away from me. But he said to me, "My unmerited favor or grace is sufficient for you, for power is brought to its goal in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I instead boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of the Messiah may rest on me. Therefore, I am well pleased to endure in weaknesses, in damages, in needs, in persecutions and distresses for the sake of Messiah. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Now is not the time to shrink back in fear or shame, but in humility to turn to the Father, to come near to the throne of grace, and receive the power of Messiah in our collective weakness. So if you're not bearing fruit for Yeshua today, remain in the vine and recommit and devote your life to doing His will and His word. And if you are bearing fruit, if you're championing the faith and making disciples, then welcome the pain of the pruning, trusting in the skill of the Father's hand. The world is in its time of greatest need. And though we face a drought devised for evil, God has devised it and is trimming us back for good. Let us invite the farmer's cleaning and pruning shears so that at all cost, Messiah's body will always live and thrive and bear much fruit. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Biblically Correct Podcast. If you like this episode and want to see us make more, then we need your help. Visit our website at biblicallycorrectpodcast.org to support the work of Perfect Word Ministries and MJMI through your much-needed donations. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, share, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to receive notifications whenever a new episode is posted. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if there are any other topics you'd like to see me cover, shoot me an email at kevin@perfectword.org. That's kevin@perfectword.org. Until next time, remember that every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for refuting, for setting aright, and for instruction that is in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully equipped, having been completed for every good act. Shalom.